Well, if I'm not mistaken, if I understood it correctly, this will not be a commercial for Emacs or for Vim or any specific editor, but it will simply be more of a plaidoyer for a method of optimization of workflow presented by Miro, who will talk now for about 45 minutes. We will still leave some time for questions later. Give a warm welcome for Miro.
Thank you. My name is Miroslav Šedivý, and this is how my keyboard looks like. Anyone else using the same standard US keyboard layout? Quite a few, very nice. So it's I like this keyboard layout very much because it's so simple. It allows me to program in programming languages I need and write most texts I need, from simple English texts until more complicated names of places like Klan Fajku, Puchgingech, Gograf, Introbov, Klan Tasilio, Gogogoch, who has been already to this Welsh city or town. And it contains the whole ASCII and has not more than two keys, two characters per key, which can you reach by shift. So it's quite simple and very useful to type most text in English. Ako náhle však chcem napísať moje priezvisko, ktoré je Šedivý, kde na začiatku 6 s mekčením, Y s dlžňom, tak to na americkej klávesnici nedostanem a preto potrebujem slovenskú klávesnicu. Na slovenskej klávesnici sú všetky tieto znaky navyše, ale nie je to QWERTY, je to QWERTZ. Hore čísla sa robia so shiftom a čo je problém, že všetky ostatné znaky po pravej strane sú úplne inak, takže keď chcem programovať, nefunguje to dosť dobre. Auf der anderen Seite, wenn man auf der deutschen Tastatur schreiben will, wo jetzt alle Umleute und das scharfe S da sind, die sind wiederum praktisch, wenn man jetzt auf Deutsch etwas schreiben will. Aber wer von euch, die mich jetzt gerade verstehen, wissen, dass es seit dem letzten Jahr auch das große scharfe S gibt? Ja, und wie schreibt ihr das auf euren deutschen Tastatur? Shift und scharfes S ist Fragezeichen. So, also das funktioniert nicht immer. Ist auch QWERTZ und wie bei der Slowakischen genauso sind jetzt die Sonderzeichen, also die ganze Interpunktion rechts ist komplett anders. Also da, wenn man programmiert, muss man sich wieder neue Sachen merken. Und ich habe jetzt noch nicht alle Tasten gezeigt, die jetzt noch mit dem Alt-GR zu erreichen sind. Česká klávesnica je velice podobná do slovenské. Navyše je tam erš s háčkem nebo u s kroužkem, co je, takže v podstate môžete psáť na slovenské, na české, je tam dosť podobných vecí a také, když chcete napsať čísla na české klávesnici, tak je třeba je dělat se shiftem. Est-ce que quelqu'un a déjà écrit sur un clavier français? C'est ni QWERTZ, c'est ni QWERTY, c'est AZERTY. Le M, il est ailleurs, le point, on le fait avec un shift. Et les autres touches sont tout à fait ailleurs. Moi, j'ai appris à utiliser le VI sur le clavier français il y a 18 ans. Et à l'époque, je ne comprenais pas comment quelqu'un pouvait faire construire un éditeur de ce type où les touches ne correspondent à rien. Après, j'ai trouvé QWERTY et ça allait encore un peu mieux. Le teclado castellano, que connaissez, contient letras como N con tilde o puntos de signos de exclamación o de interrogación abiertos que necesitáis al inicio de una frase. Polská klaviatúra je bardzo podobná do amerikanskej, s rúžnicou, že ak potrebujete písať všetky tie kropky, krensky, iné znaky, chcete písať do kogož, do šena živák, Žigoš, Bženčiš, či Kieviži, Mieška, Všom, čiže Vošice, Poviad, Venko, Vody, tak je spotřeba polskej klaviatúry a no. Tastiera italiana, la stessa cosa come la tastiera spagnola. Solamente che le lettere accentuate, non ho trovato una maniera come scrivere le lettere maiuscole con accenti, ma apparentemente abbastanza semplice. Po svenska anvendermo Amet Ring, a magyar ABC-ben kettős élés ékezet található is. Kvankam Esperanto estas tre internacia lingvo, aukau existas kelkaj tre speciálaj literoj. Ve türkče de kücsük noktali ive, bujuk noktas es ivar. No, kücsük, kücsük, si. Yeah, and we have only scratched the surface. So you see, we have just tried to type in a few European languages, and our keyboard is already a real mess. If you want to type and switch the keyboard layouts each time you want to type in another language and you have to switch these keyboard layouts, you are not going to program because you cannot remember where all these braces and other special characters, double quotes and other characters are. So how can we type in more than one language? Switching between keyboard layouts is not an option. Scrolling in character maps works maybe for some very special emoji Chinese character if it is only one from time to time, but not if you are typing fluently in another language. Also remembering all the Unicode code points with all the alt and the number combinations is also not an option. Fortunately, in the 80s, on some Unix terminals, there was a special compose key. Does anyone remember the compose key? Yeah. Nowadays, after MS-DOS took over, the whole hardware marked and the old compose key already disappeared, but maybe this is a solution. How does the compose key work? You don't have to play piano, so you need only one finger, and you have to type a sequence of three keys. The first is always the compose key, and then two other keys that at the end will make your the letter you want, the character you want, appear. So for example, if you want to write in German an umlaut, you remember umlaut, it looks like a double quote. So you remember everywhere where you want to type umlaut, even if it is in French word like Citroën, you type compose, double quotes, and the character. If you want to type in French with accent aigu, it's a simple quote. If you want accent grave, it's a big quote, and there are other all other combinations. For example, for the German SZ, it's compose SS, and if you want the uppercase SZ, it's compose and then shift SS. So actually, you don't really have to type a lot of characters, and I find it very intuitive to remember all the combinations you need. There are also many other characters that you could type with it. For example, if you need ellipses, three dots. If you type three dots, it will give you three dots. That is not exactly what you want. If you type compose and then two dots, it will like compose dot dot. It will give you the three dots. Even on the US keyboard, you don't have euro character for the euro currency. It's compose equals E, like it looks like a euro sign. So you have to just remember or get used to, if you don't really need all of these characters, to get used to few characters you need, and then you can just stick with your US keyboard layout and not change and not use some other keyboard layouts. All this is defined. You don't have to define anything. It is already in this file. This file contains over 6,000 rows, 6,000 lines, with the combination of the three characters or more characters you need. And you just, to get inspired, you can just have a look at this file and you will see what combinations are used. There are even some funny characters like colon and parentheses, it's like smiley. If you type less than and three, it's a heart. If you type CCCP, it will print the communist symbol. If you want to define your own characters, like if you in your work, job, or in your hobbies, you have to type a lot of Unicode characters that are not in this standard compose, you can define your own .xcompose file in the same format. And then you can, for example, as an idea, if you type in Greek sometimes and you want to type alpha, you can define something like compose GA. It will type lowercase alpha, compose G, shift A is the uppercase alpha, and other characters. Or if you want to type in Cyrillic or other, you just have to find out what works for you. So this is how compose key works. We are still missing the compose key. There is no compose key on your keyboard, but there are plenty of other keys that you are probably not using every day. For example, on my keyboard, I usually assign compose key to the right window key or to menu key. If you have a modern ThinkPad, you have on the bottom right in the row, there is a print screen you probably don't use every day, so you can remap this key to the compose key. And in this file, there is a list of all characters that can be mapped to compose key, and everything you have to do is set XKB map. US or the keyboard layout you are using. You can do this even with your German or French or Polish keyboard layout, and minus option and compose, and then the name of the key you want to use. So this is how we can type in most European Latin-based alphabets languages that we want. But when we are already hacking our keyboard, we could already touch another key. Which one is it? I found it on some chat a few years ago. So which key is it?
Caps lock.
Caps lock, right. What can we do with caps lock that is preventing you from logging since over 20 years? We can... You can break it out, but if you are typing with alt, I cannot type with touch type, but if I have already my fingers here, and caps lock is something that I'm using quite often, like not caps lock, but the key, I can reach it quite easily. How about making in the control? So, because the control is quite far, and if we remap our caps lock to control, we just find this in this same file. There are all the remaps that are available, and then our set XKB map, we just add to our compose key, we add the caps control modifier, and our caps lock works like a control. Okay, but we are still not finished, otherwise I wouldn't be standing here, because we can do even more. Out of our caps lock, we can get two keys at the same time. When you touch control, do you ever touch control, just hit it? Maybe, but others maybe not. It means that if you usually control is the key that you press, and then you press another key. But there is how about using mapping it to escape, because escape is on the other side is a key that you are hitting. You are never press escape and press another key. So if I just touch it, like hit it, it's escape, and when I press it and hold it and press something else, it's control. It works. There is a program for it for Linux, but for other operating systems, you can find certainly an alternative. For example, the program Xscape that is done exactly for that. And if we run in our init files the Xscape with the command with this caps lock mapped to escape, the key will work as a control as long as it is pressed. But as soon as we release it, it will be mapped to escape. So when usually typing, I'm using it since over 1 year, and it works perfectly well. So we are ready. You just create smaller stickers that don't cover more than one key. You put these two lines into your init files, and we are done. And we are ready to start our journey with the VI editor. Anyway, is anyone using here VI or Vim? Occasionally or all the time? Occasionally, most, okay. And as the main editor? Ah, great. So I don't have to explain a lot of the history. But VI and the predecessors are around here longer than most of us here, probably. Vim, the editor that you probably have installed on your computer, comes from the beginning of the 90s. The author Bram Mulenar wrote it on Amiga and then ported it to most other operating systems. We are starting at the end. There is NeoVim. Who knows NeoVim? It's a new alternative that started a few years ago as a fork of Vim 7.4, and that is maintained by a community, and it's said that it's more open to updates. It's more community-driven project, and they activated a few, or they added a few new features before Vim 8 came to the market or to the repositories. If you go a little bit back, there is Stevie and Elvis parallel projects, also from Amiga. Vim got inspired by Stevie, but they disappeared after a certain time. Vim is everywhere now. And then when we go back, there is VI from Unix. It is probably what you still know. NVI is a text editor, is a clone of VI that didn't change much, that is still available on most systems. And we are coming back to the Ed editor. Who knows Ed editor? Using it every day? One. I think just today, tonight, there should be an Ed workshop.
Tomorrow, I think.
No, after this session, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so there is Matthias, the guy who will try to teach you how to learn Ed, so I would really recommend it. I use it already sometimes, so I know it, but I would probably recommend it to learn Ed. Because add, why is what is add? How it add looks like? It's a text editor, but linear text editor. Why is it is a linear text editor? Do you know these two guys? These are Dennis Ritchie, Ken Thompson. These are the authors of Unix. Without these two guys, no Unix, no Linux, no BSD, no C, no Mac OS, no Android, just Windows everywhere. And you see, they are sitting in front of the PDP-11. PDP-11 is the big box at the back of the room. It's the computer. And the two smaller desks in front of them are the ASR-33. And these are the way how they communicated with the machine. So what you see, there is a keyboard, and there is no display. No smaller, bigger, huge display, there is no display, but there is an infinite roll of paper in front of them with a printer. And this is how, in those times, the computers communicated with us. It means you could write, type a comment, you could see it, and then the computer could just reply. And this is where terminals come from, because this printer, it could just print line or several lines, but it couldn't just scroll back, it couldn't overwrite what came out. So the only way to use, for example, cat to see a file was just cat, and then it printed the whole file and you could read it. If you wanted to change something and then reprint it, you just had to use another few meters of paper. So that's why ET was born, because this was an editor that you couldn't use on a very small, in a small memory, but also at a very slow connection. And this is how it looks like. Everything that is white background, it was me who typed it. Everything that's yellow background, it's computer that answered. You have to imagine every line came after each other, so it could be as well printed on this paper. When we started from the shell, then if I want to type something new, I have to use a comment. A is the comment that appends line to the current line position. Then I wrote these two lines, hello world, everybody at Gulasch Programmiernacht. And then a dot was the end of my text input. After dot, it knew, okay, these two lines are the new lines, the two lines that are coming, have to be appended to my file. And then N is the comment that types the current line, prints the current line with the number of the line. So with N, I enter and I could see two and the number of my line, two and the line that I printed as last. And then, as I inserted as last. And then I do A, write another line, how are you today? And then there is N with the percent, and percent, you know it from VI, it is the whole file. So percent N means just print the whole file. You can do it with three lines, you are not going to do it with your whole source code of Unix. And then it printed the three lines. And then there is a regular expression that comes that says with one S, it means in the first line, replace world by Gulasch Programmiernacht. Another comment, I don't have to see the result immediately. Another comment is 2D, it means delete the second line, and percent N, print it again. And if you see this comment with the substitute, with the world replace it with Gulasch Programmiernacht, there were also comments that acted on the whole file, so with regular expressions. So for example, you could tell, I want globally in the whole file, print everything with where this regular expression works. It is this G/RE, like a regular expression, /P, and this is where the word grep comes from. It comes from the ET editor. So at the end, we just write it to the file. It writes 49 bytes, quit, and that's all. So this is how Unix worked 50 years ago. So if you are writing a program that has many lines, imagine that you would have to type it with ET. I really recommend to learn at least the basics of ED, because when everything is broken on your computer, ED will always work. if you use VI or Vim and you just mess up your VimRC, ED will always help you to repair your VimRC and to get your Vim working, because repairing VimRC by Vim is not really just self-operating appendix. It doesn't really work very well. Now, at the end, I will show you a way how to not to come to this point, because you will not going to break up or to mess up your MIMRC. So this was 50 years ago. Then we are coming to the mid of 70s with the ADM 3A terminal, and this is where Bill Joy in 76 wrote VI4, and it's already visual because we have already a display where we can see more at the same time, and the display is able to redraw characters at any random position. This is how the keyboard. This is the keyboard layout of this terminal, and you see the arrows at the HJKL keys. So that's why VI is using HJKL to move around.
And also the escape key.
Yes, yes. Control and escape. Control and escape is just next there. Okay, we can leave tab where it is, but you have control and escape at the same, and I showed you even how to put control and escape to a better position. On the right side, the keyboard looks a little bit different from the US standard keyboard layout that we know today, but it works quite well. So the HJKL, where it comes from, why was HJKL here, is there a question? Next to which? Break, rub, I don't know. I have never touched this terminal. I just found the keyboard layout, and there is even source. I don't know. Does anybody know?
Googling right now.
It's boring. okay, so where does HJKL, why are arrows at HJKL? We can start with H. What has H and left arrow in common? What happens if you hold Control and hit H? It's backspace, right? What is Control and J? Line fit. It's line fit. So if you know ASCII, these are the first 32 characters of the ASCII below. 32, position 32 is space, and there are all the rest, but this is below 32. And maybe you recognize, in the first column there are the numbers. In the second column, there is an ASCII character with a control, with a caret in front of it, which means this is the way how you can type this character, because the first 32 characters in ASCII are control characters, like backspace, like new line, like beep, like tap, like vertical tap, like, and all these characters, you could type them with control. It takes the key you want to type, it's ASCII value, and then it subtracts 64. So for example, A is 65, ASCII 65, minus 64, control A is start of header. If someone tells you that with control D you can just close a terminal or some text input, you look at D is EOT, end of transmission. So we're actually sending ASCII character 4, end of transmission. Other thing that is probably quite well known is the 13th, is the M. If you open a Windows encoded file in Linux, it will, at the end of each line, it will just show caret M. These are the backslash R from Windows files. So it, control H was backspace, J was line feed, and then K is vertical tab, and L is form feed. They have nothing to do with arrow up and arrow right, but actually the authors of the terminal that just put it there because it was quite convenient. Control L is form feed. Form feed means just scroll the paper, the whole paper out of the printer. If you do it in terminal, it will just clear the screen. So you see that with all these characters that you can type on your keyboard, you are able to navigate everything, and you don't really need this small device next to if you are working with text. Because with Vim, you just can move around and do everything with keyboard, and you don't need a mouse. This is how Vim keyboard looks like. For beginners, it looks like a lot, but it means that actually with every key you can do something. And Vim is like uses like something like a grammar, where you learn some operators, some movement, motion commands, and you can do almost everything with your text. If someone says, "Oh, you have to juggle with HJKL," no, You very usually don't use them because they are in the middle and they allow you to just to move around by one line or by one character. There are plenty other navigational or motion commands that allow you to move, just jump around the whole screen, the whole text, and find things that you know, that you need to work on. There is not Vim alone. There is a lot of software that got inspired by Vim that have like Vim mode. In Bash, in shells, you have the possibility to jump over the words in your command line. I3 is a window manager, tiling window manager. There is an asterisk. The first thing when you install it, you have to remap the JKL semicolon to AJKL. They just move the defaults to the right, which I find really nonsense. So it's something that you have to change. Tmux, was Martin who explained some stuff about Tmux right now before my talk. Qt browser, Vimperator, Vimium are. Qt browser is a browser. A web browser that works entirely with a keyboard. Vimperator, Vimium, and Tridactyl, and so are extensions for Firefox or Chromium. Mod and NewsBouter, email program that uses for navigation Vim keys. Less VIFM. VIFM is a file manager. Zatura is a PDF viewer. And then there are Fehe is a image viewer, and VIPaint, never used it, but it should be an image editor. There is maybe something where I wouldn't really use a keyboard only for that, and there are some more of them. And there are a lot of text editors and IDEs that offer Vim mode that works perfectly up to 50, up to 98%. 98% of time, it means that every 3 or 4 minutes, I just encounter a moment where it does something different than what I want to make it, to do it, so I don't really use them. Learning Vim is a steep curve, but it's your job. Probably most of you are working with computers and have to edit text of some sort. If I want to know whether it's something worth the time, I just open this XKCD chart that tells me, okay, how often do I use something and how much time I shave off. And mastering a real text editor, whether Vim or Emacs or some other, means that I save a lot of time every day, because there is another activity that you do probably much less than editing texts, and where you invested much more time, and it is driving a car. But very probably nobody here is spending in a car more time per day than sitting in a front of computer. So if you invest your time in learning how to drive a car, and then think, okay, once I can drive a car, I can drive any car, because everything is the same. Sign up for Stadtmobil in Karlsruhe, and each time you sit in a new car, you will just try to find out how the things work. So spending the time to learn something means, okay, you can try it out. If you have problems, you can Google, you can ask at Stack Overflow. Actually, at Stack Overflow, the most asked question is how to quit Vim. It's not a joke anymore, sorry, I see it too often. If you use a software tool for more than an hour a day, I absolutely recommend to read a book on it. It's not only for Vim, it's for anything that you use on your computer, because trying it out, okay, but reading an introductory book is something that will allow you to give the author the opportunity to tell you what this program is about. For Vim, I can recommend the author Drew Neal, who is author of a Vimcast. It's like video sessions where he explains some nice things about Vim. And these two books. Practical Vim is a timeless book. It's like 5-6 years old, but it could be 20 years old on 20 years in the future, because it teaches you how to use Vim, the basic Vim, without any special new versions, without any extensions or plugins. The other book, Modern Vim, just comes out in print. I'm one of the technical reviewers. I can recommend it because it speaks about Vim 8 and NeoVim and how to turn them into real IDEs. So when we are speaking about Vim 8 and NeoVim, NeoVim is a fork of Vim 7.4. It means that there are some stuff that came to NeoVim a little bit before Vim 8. It is asynchronous. It means that if you have some plugin that needs some time, like linting, compiling, testing, or auto-completion, it doesn't block your work, so you can just go on and type, and it will show you everything when it is ready. There is a terminal in it where you can send the comments from your text editor to the terminal and back, and search in the editor in the terminal. It has modern defaults, so I think set no compatible is not an issue to write it in your VimRC or in the new configuration file. It runs only on modern systems. It means that most older systems were just deleted from the source code. It has some other place to store your configs. And for Python users, or not only for anyone coding in Python here? Oh, nice. There is a great Python plugin that allows you to write a Python communicating library that allows you to write Python plugins, but actually NeoVim communicates with most modern computer languages, programming languages. So you can, in JavaScript, in C, in Java, where you can type write your own plugins and use them in Vim. This means that it allows you to use your the programming language you know the best to work on your daily text editing tasks. Vim your stuff. So how can Vim help you to work on your text? Of course, syntax highlighting, indenting, auto-completion, asynchronous linting, Git communication with Git, so you can commit, do everything from editor directly, and also you see immediately live the diff comparing to the latest commit. You can search with AG, with ICK, with fuzzy file searcher. There are snippets. If you are still writing in a programming language where you need automatically generated code, so in Python we don't do that. There is folding, interaction with terminal and with IPython if you have Python, and there is spell checking. If you are writing computer programs, spell checking is works only on strings and on comments, so it doesn't tell you, okay, there is a typo in your function because it's a name that it doesn't know. On the other side, if you want to Python or replace Python with your programming language, your NeoVim, you can install the communication library, and then, for example, in Python, I just import the attach method from NeoVim, and then I can start a new instance of NeoVim in my Python program, or I can connect to an existing one, and then it's like object-oriented programming. I can tell, okay, if I start a command, just give me the whole buffer or give me the current line, and you can even send the comments to Vim, and everything is in Python or the programming language of your choice. As an example, I wrote, this is just how it looks like, a plugin in Python that allows me to type easier my emails in our company. I use Mutt for emails, and when I type a new email, it will just check who I'm writing this email to, and it writes hello and the names of my colleagues, 1, 2, or 3. If it is more, it writes hello zusammen, and if it is an email address out of our company, it adds the signature at the end, because we don't like sending signatures within the company. At the end, update remote plugins and the stuff works. If you want to customize your NeoVim, in the beginning, please learn Vim as it is, because Vim is everywhere on any server, or almost on any server. And if you log in, your plugins are not there, your settings are not there. So there are the default settings, and it's always a good idea just to master these and use them directly. If you want to customize your own NeoVim or Vim on your computer, you can deactivate arrow keys. I did it at the beginning, just to force myself to use AJKL and other keys. My colleagues didn't like it because when they were searching for something, scrolling in my text or in my source code, the arrow keys didn't work. You can remap keys, of course. You can shorten some comments, the appearance, how do you like to have it with all the bars, left, right, top, bottom, how it should behave, and the plugins. I could show you now my VimRC, but I have only 20 minutes left, so it's not really an option. actually, this is not something that, okay, I'm going to NeoVim and give me your VimRC, I want your VimRC. No. This is not, VimRC is something that you have to build up yourself. Just add one line, try it out, and if you don't want to break your configuration, git your dot files. And then you have just one master and branch with your commits, and if you want to try something new, you can try it out. If it doesn't work, you just can always check out back to your last working version. Because you shouldn't put any lines into your VimRC that you don't understand. It is not only VimRC, it is any configuration file. Dot files are your technical CV. It is something that you create your whole career, that you can take with you if you change your computers, your careers, your companies, and they will just come with you, and it is the way how you interact with your computer. So you write your dot files, you git them, and then share them with some private repository somewhere, and you have always them with you, and they will work for you on work or home computer. Usually you could create a dot file and then symbolically link it to all your files in the system where you want, but I found somewhere a very nice way how to do it. I create an alias that I name config, and I create a bare repository in my home directory that is not called .git, but it is called .files. Because if it is .git and I'm in the terminal, in the shell, at every enter it will just check compare, because my Z shell sees, oh, there is a .git, so it's a repository, I have to check all your files in your home directory and compare it with the git, and your files are not versioned, checked, and there is some changes, and it will be slow because your home directory is huge. If you create extra git dir, like this dot files, it will never see it. And if you create your alias named config, you can always, with config, you have the whole power of git, and it looks into the right directory. The work tree is your home directory. So if I'm in my home directory and I do config status, it shows me what has changed, and I can commit, push, do everything. Another thing that, okay, I told that you have to create these dot files as a bare git repository. And the second line is very important. With this config status, show untracked files. No, because you only want to track the files you want to track. You don't want to see all the other files in your home directory. With this line, if you do config status, it will compare just the few, your VimRC, Z shell, RC, and those few files you want to track, and ignore all the rest. And then you can, of course, you have to add a remote, whether you put it on GitHub, GitLab, in a private directory, repository. You can also use Uberspace or some other service where you can share your dot files between your computers. GitHub is usually public. There are many public dot files. It is your decision whether you want to publish it for the whole world. And then you commit, you branch, and that's all. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Miro, for this really packed talk. But unfortunately, we still have some time for questions. So there's directly the first question here.
So one addendum, the RUP key sends an ASCII delete, so character 127, that was one of the questions. And the other thing I would add to the, if you spend more than 1 hour on a tool and read a book, and I would start with the man page of that tool before I buy a book. But otherwise, I agree, yeah.
Okay, I'll be around if you have some more questions.
So. Yeah, if you don't have your questions right now, That means that the presentation was self-explanatory. and Miro will still be here, so you can ask your questions in person. Oh, there's still another one.
Do you have a method for writing, like, for example, Japanese characters? Or?
But I have method too.
For writing Japanese characters or Chinese?
Japanese, no.
No.
No, Chinese on my cell phone, but Japanese, no.
Okay. But you don't have any solution for that?
I never wrote Japanese.
Okay. You can do it in Emacs, by the way. Oh.
There's an input method called Kotoeri to type Japanese.
Another question.
Thanks. And how are you doing the Chinese? You said you're typing Chinese? Because I tried and I couldn't make it.
From time to time when I have to type something, it's a black hole. On cell phone, I mean.
Black hole?
Pleco. P-L-E-C-O. It's a dictionary that allows you also to type with your, swipe with your finger.
Ah, okay.
And it has the whole dictionary in it, so it shows you immediately the context.
But okay.
I wrote very little Chinese in my life, so.
Okay, thanks.
Now, we all know that Linux is the dominating operating system, but did you have any suggestions for using this on others, like Windows or Mac OS? For example, I mean, so Vim is easy, but the Compose key, for example.
But, sorry.
The Compose key, for example.
The Compose key. Google for Compose key and the name of your obscure operating system. No, for Mac OS, there is certainly something, and for Windows, I'm sure as well, but never used Mac OS and Windows in the last century, so I don't remember.
I propose that maybe after this talk we could set up a little wiki where everyone posts his config file and we start discussions which one is the best. But I think for today we can call it a day, and thank you again for this talk.
Thank you.